I would approve the minutes with a motion and a second. Hearing no discussions, then the agenda will be approved. Next.
The minutes.
I'm sorry, the minutes. The minutes will be approved.
You don't want to vote on the motion?
If there's no, sure. All those in favor of the minutes indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Now you have to do my affirmation. Report by the Writers Advisory Committee.
Good morning, Mr. Mack, members of the Board of Directors. Writers Advisory Council met on December 6th for its monthly meeting. Among the motions that the Writers Advisory Council passed and recommendations for the agency is that the agency more concertedly and consciously institutionalize seeking input and giving serious consideration to input by the Writers Advisory Council, the Elderly and Disabled Committee, and other writer advocate organizations and writers in the decision-making process as the agency considers changes on a day-to-day basis. We're moving forward, but we're still not there yet. Writers are interested in having the opportunity to sign up electronically by email to be informed of meetings, town hall meetings, public hearings, in advance of when Metro sends out, often very, very late, notices about the town hall meeting or the budget process, or service costs. For a year and a half, I've been attempting to get a sign-up provision for writers, and we're hoping that that can be able to be accomplished. We also have the painting of a 3-foot by 3-foot square for with the international symbol for access, the wheelchair symbol, immediately by bus stops to have a central, have a special location for people in wheelchairs and people with disabilities to station themselves waiting for the bus, simply because often bus drivers do not see them as they are interspersed amongst many people who are standing in front of and around them. It's a new approach. It needs further exploration, but we hope that that is seriously explored. We also think it's very, very important that the agency adopt something that is done in customer service operations in many, many places, and that is to ask people after they send, in particular, an email offering a complaint or a compliment, what was for the agency to follow up and ask them, what was your level of satisfaction with the reply from the agency? What was your level of satisfaction with the result from the agency? That is not done, and we do not know what the level of satisfaction is by people with respect to the customer service responses. On the proposed budget, it was a disappointment for us that there was not the release of a document publicly prior to the Board of Directors Budget Committee meeting last Thursday. We believe that it's a public document that should be made available with writer-accessible language that people understand prior to the meeting and should not be withheld until the last minute. Several points about the budget. I passed out, just to members of the Board of Directors just now, an advertisement that appeared in the past for Smart Trip. It says, Smart Trip is coming aboard Metrobus. We're installing new fare boxes on your Metro buses that have a handy Smart Trip target right on top. Ultimately, other buses throughout the region will have one too. Pretty smart, huh? It doesn't say what Smart Trip is. It doesn't say what the benefits are. It doesn't say what it does for the rider. Many of us here in this room automatically know what it is. Many a bus rider does not. Before even thinking of proposing a 75-cent increase for riders on the bus in particular who do not use Smart Trip, there needs to be dissemination of information in language and in meaningful ways explaining to folks what it is that Smart Trip does for for them. There were different languages that the ad appeared in. The very, very bottom left-hand corner, in three different languages, it says, actually I couldn't interpret it, but it says, call the phone number for more information. The headline for SmartTrip should be in English, and it ends in additional languages for people so that they see there's something in large print speaking to them in the language that they speak. And it should explain what SmartTrip is. There's a low percentage of usage of SmartTrip on many buses. There's such a huge differential, 70% down to 20% and lower, on how many people are using SmartTrip on different bus lines. And Metro has not yet conducted real outreach to communities. People who are using the bus and in language that they speak, it's grossly unfair. Grossly unfair to be proposing such an increase without speaking in language that relates and explains to the folks who are using the bus what it's all about. Two other very quick points are that the monthly and the daily passes that are used by bus riders largely are not any significant delays, do not cause significant delays with respect to boarding the bus. There may be expenses for the agency in that. There's also a concern about fraud, that it is no doubt a problem. However, I seriously question, I am very suspicious of the data that was published in the binder for the regional bus conference, saying that people are taking, on the average, an average bus rider using the average pass or day pass is being used by 11, used to board 11 different buses in one day. The average of about 300 or so daily passes is being used to board 11 buses in one day. It's difficult to believe. Also, cutting back early weekend rail service from 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning. This is another example where Metro is appearing to cut service, especially for people who are most likely to be transit-dependent and least likely to be heard. Lastly, I do want to mention the rail bus subcommittees from the Riders Advisory Council having met 2 weeks ago, that we passed motions urging the agency between its marketing and police departments to make sure that the phone number, whether it's 911 or whether it is 962-2121 for the Metro Transit Police Department, that it is visible, if I could, that there the phone number for to contact the police, calling the police in the Metro Transit, appears nowhere, zero, nowhere in the entire rail or bus system. I imagine also with respect to public access, Metro access. Chief Henson has been responsible on this. The marketing department has been responsible on this. I'm very concerned about the size of lettering that's been proposed. It's about 2 inches high for the phone number to appear on the rail. I don't think it's adequate. On the bus, there is a message on the train says, the announcement says, to call 962-2121. On the bus, it says call proper authorities. I submit that many people don't know who to call if the bus rider is hearing call proper authorities. Just to try to offer the last few comments, my last monthly report to be submitted as chairman of the council to the board. I want to thank Madam Chairman Mack and Member Dana Kaufman in particular with respect to leading the effort and being so responsive and having serious dialogue to improve Metro access. I'm hopeful that information on Metro access with respect to budgetary issues has been presented sufficiently to allow for a responsible review by the board and move towards approval of the door-to-door service change, which has not yet been approved. One other thing to consider is that in addition to members of the board of directors demonstrating to the public that they know what it's like to ride Metro bus and Metro rail, is to also ride Metro access. The single most effective way, I think, to have improvements, further improvements made in Metro Access is for members of the Board of Directors to also experience the many problems that the providers of Metro Access have experienced themselves. One last comment with respect to openness with the agency. There are some steps in the right direction with the public comment periods for members of the public to be able to speak. The budget forums that have been held last summer were helpful. The release of the budget last week, I think, was not done in a way that was as open. The committee process is still disallowing meaningful comment, any comment at all, which, and the committee, the budget, the board committees are so important in determining policy by the board, and it's simply not a truly open process to have the board have public comment periods, but without the committees, which have such a determinative impact on decisions. Finally, one example of something where there needs to be more outreach, and it's in a smaller way. The Georgia Avenue Petworth Metrorail station, I believe this is the west side entrance, is being closed for 2 years. And notice was placed, sheets of paper around the station, maybe 3 or 4 days before the closure. And people came to the Writers Advisory Council asking, why is this happening? Why are we getting such little notice of it? I'm also asking, why is there not more outreach to the community? A station or one of the two stations is going to be closed on a busy intersection. To allow for a public, that the public would be better informed of such a decision, then results in dialogue with about safety and allow the agency to be more responsive to riders and move forward to partnership so that there is greater confidence in the agency and greater support for stronger public funding of the agency. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Well,
you go ahead.
First of all, let me thank you, Mr. Jaffe, for those comments. But first, let me just say that the leadership that you have provided to the RAC in its initial year of operation has been very successful. You have identified issues that you wanted that you have brought to us that have been identified by the riders, and your tenacity in making sure that those issues got addressed is consistent with what we anticipated when we established the RAC. So I want to thank you for that, but I also want to comment on your leadership in having the RAC cooperate with us as issues arose. We had a very successful joint leadership in the Metro Access matter. You participated with us and provided were an excellent partnership with the board and with the RAC on those matters. You also co-sponsored with us the town hall meetings, one in each jurisdiction, and those meetings were very informative, very successful, and provided an opportunity for us to hear from the riders and also to get information in that way, which will just contribute to the body of issues that we need to address. So I really want to thank you for your leadership and say that you indeed have lived up to the standards that we hoped the RAC would achieve in its first year. I wanted to comment on a couple of the issues you mentioned. You mentioned quite a number of issues, and we have already been discussing some of them with you, and we'll continue to address all of them. Just follow up on a couple of them. I think the issue of the electronic sign-in is something that we should be able to take care of. I particularly want to emphasize the symbol at the bus stops for the wheelchair or actually for our handicapped users. The point that oftentimes the person in a wheelchair is not visible by the bus driver is an important point, and we think the having the symbol there would make a big difference. I also want to comment on the smart trip. I would agree with you that on this advertisement, we should have had an explanation about the smart trip. And over the years, I have expressed some concern about making sure that smart trip on the bus, as it is getting greater use, does accommodate the various needs of our bus riders. So I will have lots to say about that as we discuss smart trip on the bus in the months to come. And then just finally, I agree with you on the one-day pass and the uses that that were described at the bus conference. I would also underscore that I think we need to review that to make sure that data is consistent with the facts. And of course, I agree with the making more visible and accessible the numbers for calling the police. One of the things that has been a concern for mine over the years is our signage. I just think we need to do a better job. We've been getting better, but I think there's a long way to go in that regard. So again, thank you very much for your leadership. Mr. Cochran.
I was going to echo those comments. Certainly, Dennis is our first chair. You had to play a key role in determining the nature and dynamic of the group. Would it be a sounding board, an advocacy group, a gaggle of scolds? And I think what you found is that it's all of the above, whatever is necessary to ensure that we hear from our riders, learn from our riders, and directly respond. And that took a lot of time, a lot of effort, an occasional kick, and we appreciate that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ernest.
Thank you very much. If I could just point out, on the bus, on the smart trip, it is significantly less easy for a bus rider in terms of access to make purchase of a smart trip card. It was only incorporated 2 years ago, that's extremely important before Metro even be considering how it adjusts any fares. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Graham.
Well, since you've commented, let me, and since I may have to pull out of here early today because my ward, a holiday party is at noon, and I've got 400 people coming, not here, you'll be happy to know, but somewhere else. And I just want to, I hope to be here for a discussion of the paratransit. I do want to make a comment, however, by way of explanation. We are in the midst of a fiscal challenge at Metro WMATA. And I, for one, am going to do everything I can to make sure, to do everything I can to assure that we do not have fare hikes, either via policy or actual fare hikes imposed in this next fiscal year. In order to do that, we're going to have to be especially cognizant of spending. And the two questions, should I get the opportunity, and I'm going to be brief now, that I wish to raise is, number one, in terms of door-to-door metro access service, I would like that to be contingent. We've been assured it's a very small amount of money, something under $30,000 by staff. I'd like to have an assurance from our current contractor that, in fact, it can be achieved for that level of expenditure. And so I would like that to be a contingency. And the second thing is, I would like to know, of these millions of dollars, I recognize that the lion's share of this is coming from.
Are we finished with the presentation of the RAC?
No, I'm commenting on the presentation from the RAC. Thank you, Mr. Linton. Anyway, I want to be assured as to the actual amount of money that's going to be carryover operational expense into the next fiscal year for Metro WMATA. I just want to know what this is going to cost us ultimately. I know we're getting a free ride initially, but ultimately there will be a cost. So those are the two points I wanted to put on the record, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. I just had one final comment, Mr. Jaffe, on your beg pardon? On your point on Smart Trip. Be assured that I personally, and certainly the rest of the board, will be very vigilant in assuring that as the use of Smart Trip expands, that the issue of accessibility will be addressed. And that is something that is foremost in our consideration. And we will appreciate the continued input from the RAC on that matter. So thank you very much. The next on our agenda is our comment from the public. The first person this morning is Eileen Cunningham.
Good morning, honorable board members. My name is Eileen Cunningham. I'm here to apprise the board about an incident that occurred on November the 29th, 2006 at 11:44 a.m. Annie Long, that's me, and I came down to this building to purchase our disabled senior discount fare cards at the window outside. Attached is the receipt for the fare card transaction. While at the window, we both had a call from Mother Nature, whereby we entered the front lobby to ask to use the restroom. The security guards who were on duty, Mrs. Fauntroy and Curry, told us that we couldn't use the restrooms, that they are not for public use. We pointed out that we were customers, showed our receipts, and mentioned that we had previously been allowed to come in and use the restroom. We asked to speak to the supervisor, Mr. Metcalf, who couldn't be reached by phone. We were still refused use of the restroom, in spite of our age, urgency, disability, and being a customer. Consequently, we reluctantly left the building and went across the street to Burger King. Thank God for Burger King. Some consideration should be given to your customers, even if it's on a limited basis. The gas company will allow the security guards to escort the customers to the restroom, wait until they are through, and escort the customer back to the entrance door. We hope that Metro can do the same. Also, I use the Rhode Island Avenue corridor for both the bus and rail. I support improved walking, bus, wheelchair, and bike access to the Metro station. I'd like to see better lighting and safety at the station. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. I'm available to answer any questions.
Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cunningham. And I would like to ask Mr. Rico if you would address that issue right away.
I will.
That is just absolutely unacceptable. So we want to have that addressed immediately. And thank you for calling it to our attention. Thank you. Mr. Troffman.
I just don't know how many times we have to keep addressing the same issue. Perhaps if our station managers were only allowed to go to the restroom if Mr. Field gave permission.
Right.
I mean, it is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So. And we really thank you. Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Linton.
I just want to second what Ms. Troffman just said.
I think that seems to be fairly obvious. I would ask one caveat, though, and I think this is, you know, as difficult as this may seem for people conceptually to understand. I don't know what our security requirements have been. I do know in a lot of buildings federal buildings that ones that I used to occupy at FTA, when you could easily have access, because of security measures they've put in place, I probably couldn't get to the bathroom either. Quite frankly, I'm very, very candid. I probably couldn't as a visitor. So I don't know what procedure. I mean, it seems to be that there may be some security issues, but I think as was suggested, if our security personnel can escort, that's probably a way that could be accommodated. So I think we need to examine what those issues were that caused the officer not to allow the person to go forth. But I think some accommodations can be made to maintain both security and have access to the facility. That's possibly where the conflict may have come.
Totally agree, Mr. Linden.
So let's look at that.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Hudgens.
I understand Mr. Linton's concern, and I think we all are concerned about security. But I think when we set in processes, we think about what are the scenarios that might cause us to have to deviate from our process, and what do we do once we decide to deviate. And I think this has been reiterated over and over, whether you're at a station or at a building. And I think if we make the commitment that we do have access, and here are the conditions under which we have access, then we won't have to face these kinds of complaints. But I think we have decided we can't have access because, and therefore we don't have consistent policy. And I think that when we come back to a response on this, that we, as a Metro board, indicate that we do believe we should be providing our customers access. And now let's see what do we do to ensure that it can happen.
That's an excellent point, Ms. Hudgens. And I think you see the board sentiment on this, and it will be addressed. Thank you. Our next witness, actually we're going to move to our fourth witness because she has a Metro Access pickup at noon, and so we want to make sure that she gets an opportunity to address the board. Reverend Gloria Swieringa.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Gloria Swieringa. I'm chair of both Prince George County and Maryland State Acorn. I am also a Metro Access consumer, and I serve on the Access for All Committee. In your consideration of things that will improve the service, I have a serious concern. I am 69 years old, as blind as a church steeple inhabitant, and I have been abandoned no less than 9 times by this new company. The 9th episode occurred roughly 3.5 weeks ago. I also was left over an hour past closing time on December 9th at 2826 Blayton Road, who came that I was a soloist. Had I not known that minister, I could have wound up on the sidewalk in that neighborhood at night. I was lied to, as we always are, about where the driver was. There was no driver, because the driver who finally picked me up only had my job for 25 minutes, and he had me as an add-on. That sort of thing goes on all the time. In this season of giving, give some attention to the flaws that are not being addressed in the current service. I have been riding for 6 years. I rode with TMSI. I rode with Logisticare. This is definitely the worst. Even though you may not be the most reliable ride in town, unfortunately, you're the cheapest. You're the only way I have to get around. And so even though this is a horrible marriage, there'll be no divorce. I'm here to suggest you pay serious attention to better service. You're going to have online service. If you're not
scheduling and managing the trips you have already, how is that going to make things better? You ought to clean up before you upgrade. Nobody's addressing complaints. Nobody's making this service safer, and that needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Swearinger. We appreciate your testimony, and certainly the experience that you have had is not acceptable. We want our Metro Access people who are here and who hear you to address your concern, but also if there are others in our system who are having this kind of experience, that is really not what we expect for our customers. So we'd like to see some improvements there. Our next witness is Ann Long. Annie Long, I'm sorry.
Honorable board members, I'm Annie Long. I'm here to reintroduce my previous testimony with a few minor changes into the record because I didn't attend the ANC 5B meeting on December 7th because it was held at night. July 26, 2005, testimony from Ward 5 residents, hearing number 169, docket number R05-2, in support of proposed parking reduction at the Rhode Island Avenue Metro Station. We, the undersigned, support the Rhode Island Avenue project, the proposed reduction in parking. However, we believe that DC and Metro should be investing in improved walk, bus, wheelchair, and bike access to the Metro Station. Car is a luxury in my neighborhood. This proposal is important to my family and others in the neighborhood for several reasons, i.e., for those of us who live west of the Rhode Island Avenue Metro Station, a lot of young people cross the railroad tracks, which is an active railroad track, to access Metro because it's faster, particularly the children attending High Charter School and McKinley High School. While we older people are walking to the Metro Station via Rhode Island Avenue, going under the underpass, mind you, both ways are equally dangerous. If the train doesn't get you on the tracks, the vehicles traveling along Rhode Island Avenue certainly can. There isn't anything to buffer the pedestrian from fast-moving traffic, and I underscore fast-moving traffic, under the underpass such as street furniture, jersey walls, or guardrails on either side of the street. If a vehicle should jump the curb, pedestrians have nowhere to go, and I underscore nowhere to go except with the Lord. They are at the mercy of the vehicle's driver and the wall. A bridge or underpass should be considered for the young people crossing the railroad tracks. Well, I have one more short sentence more. Can I go?
Go ahead, yeah.
Moreover, we would like to see either a shuttle bus or the regular bus, scheduled buses such as the P6 or P8 accommodate our seniors at midday for at least average trips to and from the same way and Home Depot shopping centers. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I have 41 of my neighbor signatures on this petition.
Thank you, Ms. Long. I'm going to defer to Board Member Michelle Pouchot, who is Director of the D.C. Department of Transportation and who has been working with Metro and others on this issue. So would you briefly comment, Michelle?
Yes, I appreciate your comments. I think I raised the same comments this morning in the committee meeting. So I appreciate it, hearing it from you, knowing that the community is active and involved in this issue. When I learned of people crossing the railroad tracks, I was appalled, and there is a plan of action moving forward to provide a crossing that is more safe. Unfortunately, not as fast as I would like. But in this joint development project, we have the opportunity to not only provide great pedestrian access from the station to the adjacent properties, but also through the community. So thank you for submitting those comments, and I will be making sure that we look at that as we continue through the effort.
Thank you. briefly.
I was just saying it's amazing because within a half an hour ago, Michelle had just discussed the same issue, and you just reinforced that.
Right. Yeah, so thank you. Our next witness is Regina Lee.
Board members and friends and I'm here as a member of the investigation action group on behalf of the business now and also as a member of the access committee. I would like to comment on some of the positive ideas that Metro Access has implemented and is planning on implementing. The postcards for the late pickups that they send to the consumers when their ride is late, the door-to-door service that's being, developed, the free Metro Access rail service for Metro Access eligible individuals, and better training for reservations and vehicles in the fleet. I also have a little concern, and I just wanted to ask, make a little comment about the eligibility process for visitors, and also if there's any way a person has a recourse that lives 15 minutes from their pickup point to their home, but their trip has taken at least 2 hours for them to get there. So I just wanted to know if there's any recourse for that particular person. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. And if you have your comments written, we'd like for you to leave them with us, and so we can address them. I'm interested in the eligibility for visitors. That's an issue that I had not heard before. So we thank you for coming today. I'm going to ask, just because we have a lot of witnesses today, the next three witnesses will be prepared to come forward. Cheryl Court, Jack Corbett, and James Brown. No, that person is marked off.
Am I next?
Yes.
Thank you. Joint Development Project. I think that this is a very good project. It hasn't always been easy, but we've really come up with some creative solutions. I want to thank WMATA and the D.C. government for really pursuing that. I think that the shared parking deal is a good precedent. It's something that should be pursued at other locations, and that the joint development will provide a lot of benefits in terms of housing, shops, and jobs on top of a metro station and creating a pedestrian-oriented environment that will improve ridership, especially off-peak ridership, and create a safer station environment. We remain concerned or just want to be proven that that the bus passenger waiting area will be safe, pleasant, and a place that you would want to wait at 11 p.m. at night, 30 minutes for a bus. We would like to see more focus on a partnership between WMATA and DDOT to improve pedestrian access to the station. We appreciate the reduction in metro parking at the site, but really those millions of dollars could have been invested in improved pedestrian, bicycle, and bus access to the metro station. As earlier, given the fact that in this neighborhood, 50% of the surrounding residents don't even own a car, so we really think that the emphasis should have been more on pedestrian and bus access than replacing parking at $25,000 per space. We do appreciate that parking was reduced and a shared parking agreement was managed. We hope that this is a trend that really can be built on into the future where we rethink the incredible expense of parking and make sure Joint Development is doing everything it could do for the neighborhood and really sustaining our ridership and pressuring more riders and making access more, making the station more accessible to everybody, whether or not you own a car. And we hope that better clarification will be made with FTA about their policies regarding parking versus other access investments and really put pedestrians and bus riders at least on equal footing with car drivers at this station. While 50% of the nearby residents don't own cars, parking at the station is mostly consumed by out-of-state drivers. So we think that the order of priority should be reversed, and we should be aiming to serve people like Annie Long, who doesn't have a car, and many of her neighbors who do not have a car. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your testimony, and thank you particularly for your work on the Rhode Island Avenue project, but for all the work you and your organization do on behalf of advocacy for our riders. So, thank you. Jack Corbett.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairman, I am Jack Corbett, a resident of Montgomery County, and a director of MentorRiders.org. We wish to comment on your agenda item 13A10 to approve the awarding of up to $150,000 sole source contract to Moffitt Consulting for an organizational assessment of WMATA. This issue is not considered by any board committee, so there has not been an earlier opportunity for us to comment. The draft resolution before you proposes that the contract to be tasked to examine the areas of the 08 operating budget that could be reduced or eliminated with a report back to WMATA not later than April 16. This timeline would, of course, allow the board to act on any proposed reduction before the 08 budget is approved. We applaud the board's effort to identify areas of potential savings to reduce to the greatest extent possible the need for a fare increase on Metro riders in fiscal 08. Yes, we have all heard the anger of some riders as to both the amount and the formulas for the fare increases that staff proposed last week. Still, the resolution before you is unbalanced. We believe that any organizational assessment should be neutral. The consultant should also be tasked with identifying any needed increases in staffing or expenditures that appear justified, not just reductions. Even if the $150,000 contract amount has got to be extended, but within the same very tight time frame. Lastly, this is a contract in which Metro's Inspector General should be involved if you had one. The board's resolution in April budgeted for an Inspector General to be in place by October 1st, with two deputies to be in place by January 1st. Unfortunately, this whole process is about 4 months behind. We urge that a new IG be appointed soon, and when appointed, be heavily involved in this contract, which addresses WMATA program inefficiencies, which is within that job's description. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack, and also thank you for your continued advocacy for the riders. We do acknowledge that we have been delayed on the IG process, but it is back on track, and we do expect early action in that regard. We certainly also acknowledge your comment on the assessment that will be conducted primarily under the leadership of our new general manager. And I'm sure that the suggestions that you make in terms of what we need more of and what we need less of will be considered, and we anticipate that this will be cost neutral, because we do believe we will identify savings, but we won't simply focus on reductions. We'll focus on what's going to create the most efficiency for the authority. Next, James Brown.
My name is James S. Proud, and I live in Arlington, Virginia. I am a spokesperson for the Northern Virginia Disability Advocate, NOVADA, a group of persons with all types of disabilities who advocate for better services and better access for ourselves and other Northern Virginians with disabilities. Nevada commends the WMATA board of directors for hearing the concerns of Metro Access patrons and forming the ad hoc committee to monitor Metro Access performance. Thank you for including Metro Access patrons on that committee so that the disability community had input into the process of developing solutions to problems that they experience. We applaud you for adopting the ad hoc committee's report. Today, you will consider approving funding, a funding package that will authorize monies to implement two important ad hoc committee recommendations. We urge you to approve the implementation of these recommendations. First, it is critical that you authorize funding for the purchase of new vehicles for Metro Access. It is imperative that we have sufficient vehicles and drivers to meet the demand and to provide spare vehicles so that the riders are not missed or delayed because there are no vehicles to complete trips when vehicles in the operating fleet break down. Up until now, there have been no spares, and that's no way to operate business. Secondly, we hope that you will vote in favor of the changing Metro Access service from curb-to-curb service to the door-to-door service. This change was important change recommended by the ad hoc committee. We believe that it can make Metro Access service more efficient and cost-effective because the drivers will not go to the door will go to the door of the building or house when they arrive to pick up a patron. The driver will be better able to identify the rider rather than relying on the rider to find the vehicle. Furthermore, consumers who cannot sit outside in extreme weathers would be able to wait waiting in the lobby or inside the door. This would eliminate time spent waiting for consumers and come down from an apartment or office. If the drive is at the wrong address, he or she much more likely to discover that the fact earlier reducing or eliminating the dwell time.
Brown, could I ask you to close quickly?
Yes. All right. Well, basically, these two are very, very important. I wait outside with riders all the time. I won't let a rider in the cold or rain
sit out there all by themselves.
And sometimes
it's been 1, 2, 3 hours outside of the curb. And this seems a waste of time because
they don't have another
vehicle and the delays because of the vehicle went to the wrong place. Both of these are
very, very big issues for this community in Northern Virginia. I hear about it
all the time. And even the blind community don't necessarily know when their ride is there or not. And for them to stand outside waiting in an urban area is not probably, especially in the rain or cold, it's not something you want to do.
And I would just thank you again and say to our Metro Access staff that we should look into these concerns because we certainly are not meeting our performance goals with this kind of activity. So thank you.
I have submitted written testimony.
Thank you very much. Our last four speakers, I'll call them Ann Pimley, Doris Ray, Gail Hitnor, and Robert Coward.
Chairwoman Mack and Board, I want to thank you for this opportunity for public comment. As you know, it is very important that the consumers have an opportunity to come and give input into the organization and how the service is provided. And I want to applaud you for all different committees and boards that have been implemented so that people can make that comment. My name is Ann Finley. I'm a member of NOVADA. I live in Fairfax County. Today you will be voting on a budget package that would implement two different items from the ad hoc committee report. One of these is providing more vehicles. It is very important that there are enough vehicles to pick up customers so that customers do not have to wait. But I wanted to let you know that customers also think about finances for the organization. And I believe that it's probably much more expensive to bring a central tax to pick up a customer than to provide a metro access vehicle. So that is a consideration that should be taken into account. I believe that there are no spare vehicles to take care of the times when vehicles are in maintenance or when vehicles break down, and that day a customer needs to be picked up. The other thing I want to talk about is the change from curb-to-curb to door-to-door service. I think this is a very good idea. As a visually impaired person, I often stand out and I have no idea if the vehicle is there or not. And there are some people with other disabilities, such as cognitive disabilities, who may not recognize the vehicle either. This would be very beneficial for us to be inside and have the driver come announce that he has arrived. There is also the issue of inclement weather. I have stood outside many a times in the cold and in the heat, and some of us also, besides our disabilities, have medical issues that are related to our disability. So that is very important, and I do think that this will also, it may cost a little bit of extra money, but if you consider the wait time that drivers have been reduced, you may have some savings there. So I want to thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pemley, and we know you've testified before, so we appreciate your coming to speak on behalf of the riders. Thank you. Ms. Doris Ray.
Good morning, Mrs. Mack and members of the WMATA Board of Directors, the Independent Center of Northern Virginia, and the disability community that we serve in Arlington, Fairfax counties, the cities of Alexandria, Fairfax, and Falls Church, urge you to vote yes on the item in your package which would implement the purchase of new vehicles for Metro Access. It is very important to have sufficient vehicles and drivers to operate the service. We also urge you to vote yes on the changing of the Metro Access service from a curb-to-curb service to a door-to-door service. Many transit authorities have already done so, and we believe that it will provide cost efficiencies, even though there may be a cost in implementation, as there is in any new feature to a service, because of the efficiency that will be provided through drivers being able to identify their passengers more quickly, passengers knowing who's coming to pick them up when and waiting downstairs. We believe that this is an important thing for you to implement and hope you vote yes. We thank you for the work of the ad hoc committee and your support of it. When you implement these new features, however, we ask you to continue to monitor the performance of Metro Access. There have been some concerns expressed today. We want to see on-time service if the door-to-door service is implemented. Whether it is implemented or not, we want to see the on-time service. And we hope that you will continue the dialogue and the input that you have established with the consumer community. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ray. And thank you also for recognizing the hard work of the ad hoc committee. We know that Mr. Kaufman chaired the committee, but I just point out that the idea of establishing the committee really came from Mayor Ewell. So it was an effort of all the board members who wanted to see us get on top of some of the issues that of metro access. We've heard issues today that need to be addressed. We made a lot of progress, but still we have a lot to do. And so we appreciate your recognition of the work, but also indication that there's more we need to do.
Madam Chair, I did forget to say that I have the same concern as the RAC has expressed as a bus rider about the access of the smart trip card machines, because I, as a blind person, am not able to access them. I ride the 4 line through Arlington and Fairfax County, and that is to my house. And that was the pilot bus line, and they decided to do that pilot with knowing that they were not accessible to blind people. I don't think that's acceptable or ADA compliant. Thank you for letting me say that.
Thank you for that. And I have asked, as we proceed in reviewing some of the recommendations that have come to us in the Budget Committee, that we actually go out in the community and have some focus groups so we can hear from people with your issues and other issues as we move to implement major changes in Metro. And I've been assured that that will be done. So thank you. Next, Gail Rittenor. Oh, she's finished. Well, thank you for coming to speak to the board. We're pleased that you've taken advantage of this opportunity to come to speak to us, and we appreciate your being here. Thank you very much. Our final speaker is Mr. Robert Coward. How do you do, Mr. Coward? Welcome back.
Greetings, distinguished board members, Chief and Blessing, and everybody in the room. My name is Mr. Coward. I'm the executive director for Direct Action, chair spokesman for DAP, and I'm a veteran consultant for PBA. Some of my colleagues just came up and told you to vote yes to the $6.1 million budget request by JARC, but I'm going to tell you why you should vote yes. First of all, with the increase in vehicles. 67 new vehicles. The vans are creating a safety risk. You know, they're very narrow. When you secure a chair and position a secure chair in the van, it's so narrow between the chair and the lift that, you know, anybody trying to access to go past, you know, kind of runs the risk of injuring themselves. Why there should be an operational backup fleet, because that will improve quality and reliability of service. You know, when the van goes down, if you have a backup, an operational backup, that will help, you know, that cost. I know this because, you know, I was an aircraft mechanic. I know about, I ran a shop, so I know about having maintenance of vehicles and operational backup. Also, I support in the recommendation for to find a way to collect the revenue in the vehicles. There is a problem with that, because, you know, the drivers, you know, express a little outrage about collecting the revenue from the members, as well as the members have a problem of payment. Now, the next issue that I want to speak to is about door-to-door. Just to say door-to-door, you know, time is money. The military time will save loss, will prevent loss of life, which if you want to reference that time with people with disabilities waiting in the elements, you know, can create a safety issue. But time is money, and with the Adams Consultant Report, you know, that draft, it kind of stipulated how dwell time will be, you know, be less and it'll save money. Also, I think that, I'm going to talk about the dwell time, the door-to-door, that, you know, it would be a cost savings. One thing in the recommendation that I didn't see, we did an oversight review, I believe it was in November, and our findings were great that, you know, that at the garages, that buying fuel at retail is more costly. So if you can buy it wholesale and store it, that would be a great cost saving. I think that with the door-to-door, you're asking the drivers to do more, to have more responsibilities and more responsibilities and take on more duties rather. So I think that the recommendation should also include some type of compensation increase for the drivers, because you know there is a high turnover rate with the workforce. So I think that with more duties, there should become more compensation for the workers. So I implore and I urge the board to accept the $6.1 million request, but also look into increasing maybe the wage for the drivers, because they will be taking on more responsibilities. We need to keep them, you know, in place. It costs like $3,000. Well, it was said to me at the community review, it's like $3,000, minimum $3,000 to train one driver. And the turnover time for a driver is very high. So we need to keep them, you know, on a job longer to better quality and reliable service. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Mr. Coward. Thank you for your continued interest and sharing with us on the issues. We will certainly look into all the things that you raised, and we'll get back to you.
Madam Chairman.
Ms. Hudgens.
Mrs. Mack, and to the members who have come out to testify, I appreciate the time that they've taken. Many are members of the Access to All, and I am assuming a chair after Ms. Porter from the Transportation Planning Board for next year. And I appreciate the fact that the members have taken some cognitive approach at looking at our budget and encouraging us what we need to do. And I think we'll have some other comments later in the agenda when the item comes forward, if not approved by consent, because I think the things that we've heard really go to the heart of what Metro is, and it's not just the services that are to be delivered to the disability community, but if we see it as a holistic organization, we will be successful. So thank you very much, and appreciate them coming out.
Thank you, Ms. Hudgens. Any further comment? Thank you. That concludes our session on public testimony. Moving now to my report, I have the pleasure of bringing to us new members of our RAC. When the RAC was established last year, we staggered the terms of the members so that all of the memberships would not expire at one time. And because of that, some people drew one-year terms, two-year terms, and three-year terms. Today, we have the one-year terms that are expiring, and we have additional members who have vacated the RAC in advance of the expiration of their terms. There are 8 vacancies at this time, 2 from the District of Columbia, 3 from Montgomery County, and 1 from Prince George's County, 1 from Fairfax County, and 1 at large. So I would like to recommend to the board that we appoint the following members to the Writers Advisory Council. Kelsey Brockmort and Cesar Matic from the District of Columbia, Nardra Johnson, Kaya Sandler, and Michael Snyder from Montgomery County, Susan Holland from Prince George's County, Kelly Stone from Montgomery County, and Armando Cardenas for the at-large seat. I move approval of these appointments to the REC.
Second.
Question?
We have a question. Mr. Zimmerman.
You said that one of the vacancies is from Fairfax?
Yes.
And yet the
candidates put forward don't reflect.
If I may interject, Kelly Stone is from Fairfax County.
Okay, I thought that was...
It's correct on the resolution, but not on the...
Oh, and not... Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Solomon. Okay, that's... the reports show that Kelly Stone is from Fairfax County, and Armando Cortez is from...
He's from the District of Columbia, but is occupying the at-large seat, completing that term.
Right, okay, thank you. We'll call for the vote now. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. And just to finally, I had already congratulated Mr. Jaffe for his successful first term leadership of the REC, and just to repeat that, and thank you again for your contributions. We move now to the report of the general manager, Mr. Bunker.
Afternoon. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board, and I'll try to be quick and give you a quick report this morning. You have a number of administrative items before you this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, for approval. Just wanted to mention a couple. Cameras on buses have become a significant tool for accident investigation and disturbances on buses. Following 9/11, we installed cameras on 100 buses. That has grown to over 600 buses at this time, and there's an action before you to maintain these cameras through a contract from suppliers that have the expertise, the manpower, and the parts to keep them up to speed, and there are several firms that can do that work. Secondly, we have the labor contract for Local 922 before you today for approval. This is the last of this year's contracts and completes the cycle of negotiations with unions representing WMATA employees. Thirdly, we do have a contract that you've added to the agenda this afternoon to speak to a streamlining organizational review requested by Mr. Cato. We look forward to your approval of that. And again, you've heard many comments on the Metro Access item. I just will try to respond quickly to Mr. Graham's comments. The door-to-door, we've had correspondence with the vendor on assurances that the cost of door-to-door service will be minimal. We anticipate a $255,000 implementation cost for training customer information and initial standby capacity. After 3 or 4 months, we anticipate it'll be about $22,000 per year. And again, the $6.1 million that Mr. Graham mentioned that is made available to us from JARC funds is essentially a one-time cost. There are very few remaining costs. We have recommended the adding of three field monitors and three other positions for eligibility that were recommendations of the ad hoc committee and other input that we've received. The costs for 07 and 08 are included in the JARC funding. We have $125,000 for COG to maintain a paratransit information website that would be ongoing, but not starting, but it's funded through 08. There are expenditures for purchase of bulk fuel, which you've heard is basically a membership to the organization at $6,500 a year that will make that happen, and we think it'll be offset by the savings in fuel. So hopefully those address Mr. Graham's concerns, and we'll be happy to address any others if that item comes up for discussion. Again, on Tuesday, we held our annual employee award ceremony. It was a wonderful event attended by more than 375 employees to celebrate and honor the many accomplishments of our employees during the past year. This year's recipient of the Jackson Graham Award for Extraordinary Achievement was Vincent Hill, who works for the Office of Plant Maintenance. And Metro Police's Chief Polly Hansen was this year's recipient of the Carmen E. Turner Memorial Award for Extraordinary Achievement. I'd like to just take a moment to thank our Board Chair, Mrs. Mack, and Vice Chair, Mr. Deegan, for joining us at this event. And finally, I just want to take a brief moment to wish the board, our employees, and all of the customers a safe and joyful holiday season. This has been an important and challenging year for Metro, and I thank everyone who has worked to keep Metro moving forward. I, for one, look forward to the challenges and opportunities facing the organization in the new year and to working with the many talented and dedicated people who make Metro America's best transit system. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wickwood. At the award ceremony this week, I had an opportunity to thank Mr. Wickwood for the job that he's doing as acting general manager, and I was really warmed by the appreciation that he received from the staff. He had to be pleased. There was quite an outpouring of support for him, so we do appreciate your serve in that role.
I have a question.
Ms. Zimmerman.
I'd just like to ask about follow-up for recent town meetings that were held. And obviously, I particularly just the one that was held in Arlington, although there was also a Maryland town hall meeting. And in the course of the one we had in Arlington, there were a lot of questions, and we indicated to people that, you know, they would be, kind of tabulated, and then responses would also be developed. I was just wondering what the time frame is for all that to happen.
We're going to certainly give you in the month of January, prior to the January board meeting, we will give you at least a complete report, or certainly an update as to where we are with answering questions, the number of people, the questions that were asked, and try to give you as much feedback as we can before the January board meeting.
Appreciate it, and I think that's a good time frame. And also, I'm looking forward to being able to have the questions and answers posted, as we did indicate.
And that'll be part of our process. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I noticed in our haste to move along with the agenda, because we're running kind of late, we failed to mention the regional bus conference, but.
Well, we were going to give some certificates, and we can do that to some of the employees that made that happen. If we want to take the time, Edward's prepared to do that at this time.
Well, how long is that going to take?
Well, there are 9 individuals, and.
Edward, can we recognize them by name,
Edward? And then we'll hand out the certificates at a later time.
Excellent. We have the 9 individuals. Obviously, they were the lead. There were a lot of other individuals involved in the conference, but we thought these were the people mostly responsible for the planning and the execution. And it includes Metro staff as well as a representative from the JCC. Gary Onrich. From the JCC.
They stand up. Are they present?
Gary is here.
Okay.
Tia Fawcett from our media office.
Hey, Tia.
Jim Hemry from the planning office.
Hey, Jim.
Eric Hugh, also from the planning office. Vincent Jackson from our operations planning office. Scott Kubley, also from the planning office. Glenn Millers of the ADA office. Maria Wallace from my direct office in Joel, Washington. Those are the 9 individuals I would call out for their service and support in putting the conference on.
Thank you. And Mr. Thomas, thank you for your hard work on that, and also to Mr. Linton for his leadership in what was a successful bus conference.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving now to the Budget Committee, Mr. Linton will give the Budget Committee report.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The following action was referred to the board by the committee. Metro Memorial Initiative. Staff requested approval of a resolution adopting the rules and funding for the Metro Memorial Scholarship Fund for $100,000 and $500,000 for the creation of memorials at the Jackson Graham Building and the Carmen E. Turner Training Facility, funded with fiscal year 06 operating budget surplus funds. The scholarship and memorials are designed to honor WMATA employees who have died in the line of duty and to assist with the education of their minor children. Staff will look at the direction of the board, staff of the committee. Staff will look into the construction of one of the memorials at a transfer station and to appoint a board member to the board of administrators for the scholarship fund. I move approval, Madam Chair.
It's moved and second. Any discussion? Ms. Hudgens.
Madam Chairman, I'm sure subject to approval of this. I would hope that we would forward after today correspondence to Mr. Lee and to the other family members. I was visited by Mr. Lee as he transited transitioned here in visiting with his family, and he asked us where were, asked me where was the progress of it, and he was concerned that maybe it might not be moving forward since it started under Mr. Tangerlini, and I wanted to ensure him that this was a board action, and I think today, if we are subject to approving this, we should make sure that we correspond with him immediately, and so they can keep track of it.
That's an excellent point, Ms. Hudgens, and please follow through with that. Let me also say that these notes say that staff will look into the construction of a memorial, one of the memorials at a transfer station, and to point a board member to the members of a board member to the fund. That was something that we thought we wanted more discussion on, so I didn't want this to get sealed into concrete, but just to point out that that is to be brought back for some discussion. Okay. Mr. Lynn. I'm sorry.
Motion and second.
Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Item B, move Office of Information Technology Strategic and Business Plan. Staff requested approval to initiate and award a contract and modifications, including $11.875 million in funding for expenditures for the Office of Information Technology. The expenditures are needed now, not in the future, as previously planned.
I'm sorry.
Move approval, Madam Chair.
We have a motion. Can we have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? I will just say, since this is an issue that I had raised, and that also Mr. Grammett raised about, and Mr. Kaufman, I believe, about the availability of these funds and the movement of them, advancing of them in years, those issues were reviewed by members, and members were satisfied that there was no fiscal impact. So those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Mr. Lynn.
Madam Chair, the following action was withdrawn by the committee. Reserve remainder of the fiscal year 2006 operating budget surplus to operating reserve. The committee withdrew this item.
We have a motion.
No.
We have a second?
No action.
No action, Madam.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is withdrawn. Sorry about that.
Madam Chair, the final information item was discussed at the December 14th meeting. The General Manager's Fiscal 2008 Proposed Operating and Capital Budget. Staff presented a fiscal year operating budget containing a $116 million deficit. Staff made a number of proposals in terms of subsidy increases, management actions, and others as discussed by the staff. The committee asked the staff to review and advise the board on a number of actions to reduce the budget before recommending a fare increase. I think what we saw at the board was a uniform agreement among this body that we should resort to exploring every other option before a fare increase is brought before this body. So that is the recommendation, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lattin. Next, we have the report of the Customer Service and Operations Committee.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. The following action item was referred to the board by the committee. The item is Art in Transit Performing Arts Program. The board previously directed staff to develop a music program for the Metro Rail system. Board approved the implementation of Metro Performs, a one-year pilot program at designated station entrances effective spring 2007. Art in Transit, in cooperation with other WMATA departments and area arts councils, will administer the program. I move approval of this item.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any
Madam
discussion?
Chair.
Mr.
Madam Chair.
Zimmerman.
I would note that there's actually two resolutions. And let me ask if the intention of the motion was the amended version that is that shows the red inserts. And let me note that the amended version we see incorporates language that provides for local discretion in the matter of compensation for performers. And as you can see before you, that version shows the changes in struck-through language and underlined for the additions
Mr. Zimmerman, if I may, the red line version basically just calls out the changes. The resolution is as it shows on the red line version as well, just for clarification.
In either case, it is amended from what the committee saw last week, which I think, you know, board members should be very aware. It is a change that I support. But, you know, assuming that that's the motion, everybody should realize that it is an amended amended resolution from that which was discussed last week in committee. And it is specifically amended to provide for the setting of such a fee to be a local option.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. I want to thank our Metro staff for bringing this action this far. It has been much talked about, and action has been promised, but we finally have it before us. And thanks to the work of our staff in coordinating the various jurisdictions to bring us to this point. With no further discussion, those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you. The next report is the Development and Planning Committee. Mr. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The committee met this morning and has one item to bring forward for your consideration, and that concerns a proposed multi-part license agreement with the Virginia Department of Transportation to allow WMATA to install fiber optic cable between the Vienna stations and West Ox Road and I-66. This will establish the final link between I-66 and the West Ox complex, which is consistent with previous approvals by the board last January. The action before you would allow that to be carried forward along with previously budgeted funds. The committee recommends approval, and on behalf of the committee, I do so move.
Of a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. That's approved.
Madam Chairman, we also discussed the regional bus conference, as we already have again this morning. It was successful, and we look forward to following through on it. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Zimmerman. And now we have a report of the Policy and Legislative Committee. At the committee meeting this morning, the committee approved gave the authority to the acting general manager to sign the National Capital Region Mutual Aid Agreement. This was approved November 9, 2005 by the Council of Governments. WMATA is one of the few participating jurisdictions that has not yet signed this agreement, and this action today will permit this to happen. We all agree that this is beneficial to WMATA, and we're pleased to move forward. I move approval. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you. Real Estate Committee, Mr. Deegan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Real Estate Committee met this morning as well. We have three items. First was the approval of the final compact public hearing staff report for the Rhode Island Avenue Joint Development Site project. In March of 2005, WMATA executed a joint development agreement with Rhode Island Avenue Metro LLC for a site at Rhode Island Avenue Brentwood Metro Station. The proposed development included a relocation of some WMATA parking to an on-site garage and a reduction of dedicated WMATA parking from 387 spaces to 215 spaces, as requested by the District of Columbia. At the compact hearing, some members of the community objected to the parking reduction. Subsequent to the public hearing, the FTA asked WMATA to enter into a shared parking agreement with the developers in order to ensure that WMATA patrons would have access to at least 387 parking spaces. WMATA and the developer have negotiated a shared parking agreement that meets those requirements. WMATA issued a draft staff report for a 14-day public comment period. The comments are included in that final report. Staff is seeking approval of the final compact public hearing staff report and an amendment of the adopted regional system and the general plans for the Rhode Island Avenue station to provide for a relocated garage, bus bays, and kiss and ride spaces, as depicted in the appendix to the staff report. A reduction in the number of parking spaces from 387 to 229 dedicated to WMATA patrons the addition of 159 shared spaces, including 6 taxi spaces, and authorization to execute the Rhode Island Avenue Shared Parking Agreement with the Rhode Island Avenue Metro LLC. I move approval.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We've had lots of discussion on this, even at the public testimony. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Mrs. Egan, thank you.
Next, we have approval of the Arlington Bus Garage Joint Development Sales Agreement. On April 21, 2005, the Board authorized the reinstatement and extension of Ashton Park Associates, LLC, or APA, as the selected developer of the Arlington Bus Garage property. On January 19, 2006, the Board authorized the staff to execute the term sheet negotiated between WMATA and APA. Those terms have now been incorporated into a sales and development agreement. The committee recommends that the staff be authorized to execute the Arlington Bus Garage sales and development agreement negotiated between WMATA and APA. I move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. That's approved.
Final item is approval for an extension of the negotiation period for the Silver Spring Master Development Agreement to March 30th, 2007. On December 17th, 2004, the WMATA Board authorized staff to execute a term sheet with Silver Spring Metro, LLC, an entity owned by the Folger Pratt Companies and Mid-City Urban, LLC, for the development of private components of the Paul S. Sarbanes Transit Center Joint Development Project at the Silver Spring Metro Rail Station. The parties to the Master Development Agreement have successfully negotiated the business terms of the agreement and are in the process of completing work on the various related agreements, such as the purchase contract, the purchase lease, and the project control agreement. As these agreements are attachments to the MDA, and the MDA is not complete until they have fully been negotiated. Staff estimates that the remaining work on the required agreements will be completed by March 30th, 2007. I move approval and extension.
A motion. A second. Those in favor indicate by a discussion. I'm sorry. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's approved. Next, we have. That's all for you. Next, the administrative items. We have 9 administrative items.
I show 10.
I'm sorry, 10 administrative items.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Zimmerman, I was waiting for that motion.
Sorry. Madam Chairman, I move approval of administrative items 1 through 10 on block.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Huggins.
Madam Chairman, the item number 8 on the metro access fees.
Yes.
Discuss
separate
that?
Separate.
You separate number 8. That's fine.
I
would just like to comment that one of the items is approval of the contract for Local 922. We're pleased to report that has been voted on, ratified by the membership, and we're pleased to bring that here to the board for approval. And I also indicate that included is an initiative for an organizational assessment that will go forward. If there's no further discussion, then those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Madam Chairman, this is items 1 through 10 minus item 8.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. And now we'll take item 8. Ms. Hudgens.
I surely support item 8 and would be willing to vote for it if I had the opportunity to do so. But I would like to point out that I think this is very important. And I'd like to ask a question. When will we get back from staff a report on the status of the contract in terms of the monitoring that we were doing on their terms in our original agreement? I thought there was a time frame that we were to hear back a report on the status of the contract.
Yeah.
We are reviewing a report from our ad hoc consultant that is going over staffing issues with the contractor. We released a draft version of the door-to-door chapter, but it's we're reviewing it. We're discussing it internally. Mr. Cato has asked for an opportunity to read it as well, and we expect to be sending it out in early January.
I think it's important that as we make this change that we look to the change, while it is a budgetary amount, that it truly addresses efficiencies and why we have arrived at it, and that it does indeed address the concern. And I think the only way we're going to know that is that we continue to monitor it and that we get some feedback on some time frame to do that. I think the writers have indicated their support for it, but they equally have indicated that they want to see the contract work well. And we don't want to consider that we're just simply going to make an investment and not know what will be the efficiencies, and do we realize those efficiencies that the board is making a commitment to by this investment.
Thank you, Ms. Hudgens, and I think that's an important point you make. We do have to continue to watch to monitor those actions.
One short question here. When you want to initiate award the contract to purchase up to 65 new Metro Access vans, the word new means new to the authority, not necessarily 2007.
Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I would just, building a little bit on Ms. Hudgens' point, it really is important that we emphasize that we're making this change from door-to-door, because at the point that we went into this contract, that had been a big issue with our, not only our Metro Access riders, but just our riders in general. And I have often said that when we do good things, we don't get as much discussion and ink about the good things. So this is a good thing, and we should make sure that it is well known throughout our ridership, not just the Metro Access, but our entire ridership.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Kaufman.
On behalf of Mrs. Hudgens, I'd like to move approval of item Admin 8. And if there is a second, I would like to comment briefly.
Second.
You have a second.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is item many of us have waited a long time for. You know, of all the different aspects of services authority provides, all too often it's the only area where we tend to lament success, where growth in ridership is not necessarily seen as a good thing. Certainly, this does remain an unfunded federal mandate, but it's also an opportunity where this authority can step forward and provide quality service, recognize the needs and, frankly, the demands of our customers. And in taking this action today, we are taking a significant step forward. But it's not just one step. I would also note that this month, earlier this month, thanks to the efforts of Mr. Yaffe and Jaffe, not a law firm, but Yaffe and Jaffe earlier this month did convene our first joint meeting involving folks from the Elderly and Disabled Committee, the Riders Advisory Council, and we began this process of providing formal direct access for our riders with disabilities to this board, not filtered through the general manager. And again, that's another significant step forward.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, Mr. Kaufman. Michelle and then Gordon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In Mr. Graham's absence, and since this is the item that he was referring to, I'd like to place his two questions back on the table, and the answer provided by Jack was great, but I'd love for it to be on the record at this item. Thank you. Can you say and repeat the answers?
The first question was whether the door-to-door service was, we have assurances from the contractor that our estimates are correct. I think we've got correspondence that address that, and we certainly will forward that to the board. We believe that this is there's about a $255,000 initial cost for training, customer information, et cetera. And beyond that, we anticipate it being less than $25,000 a year in additional costs to go from curb to curb to door to door. Second question that Mr. Graham asked, are there a number of items that will obligate us for long-term expenses. There are almost everything is done in the first year. First of all, this was job access money that was made available for only for expenditures for Metro Access. Most of these are contractual things, responses to ad hoc committees, committees, everyone that has input, responses to many of the things that we heard this morning. There are very few. We are adding six additional staff members that are funded through 08, so there would not be any additional cost until at least 09 on those. There are some actions that we're taking that will expend money, but we anticipate countering those with savings primarily in the area of fuel. We pay for a an agreement to join with others, but the offset of that is savings in the cost per gallon of fuel. So we really believe that if there's minimal long-term extended costs, as Mr. Kaufman mentioned, there are certainly ridership increases and there's contractual increases that will potentially drive the cost of the contract, but the actions we're taking are more likely to make us more efficient and more compatible with the demands of the customer.
For that report, and it's very exciting to hear the cost impacts are minimal, yet the service will be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've added, in addition to the six, instead of spending money on a consultant to update ridership projections and to provide us planning input, there is a 7 through 08, a physician and BPAD that I did want to bring to your attention.
I'm sorry.
Business planning and development that'll be supporting Metro Access. And that will be covered through 08 as well.
Gordon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since we're discussing this item that's before us, I want to take note of the fact that we're moving in a direction of looking at Medicaid transportation services with the idea that we will have a pilot that will allow Medicaid recipients who can be funded through their local jurisdiction funding and mechanisms to access fixed route service. This is something that has been tried around the country with tremendous amount of savings to the local jurisdictions because they're actually now spending for high cost transportation services out of Medicaid funds. So it should save money for Medicaid and it should provide increased usage on our fixed route system for WMATA, so it can really be a win-win. So I'm excited to see we're going down this road on a pilot. Health and Human Services, HHS, and the federal level has a lot more money for transportation than a lot of people realize. So they spend a lot of money, and we should be tapping into that that stream of funding. So this becomes a good way to move in that direction.
Thank you. No further discussion. Those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, that's approved. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our agenda, save for jurisdictional reports.
I was saying happy holidays. Maryland has no report.
Virginia. Ms. Hutchins.
No report.
And D.C. is me, and we have no report. Right, I would like to invite you all to Mr. Graham's party. He didn't tell us where it is. I'm sure we can find it. I would move the... I move the board meet in executive session to discuss labor issues.
Second.
Have a second. Without exception, that's approved. Thank you.